Tonight's reading is taken from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 to 7. In the same way, you younger people must submit to your elders, and all of you must put on the apron of humility to serve one another. For the scripture says, God resists the proud, but shows favour to the humble. Humble yourselves then under God's mighty hand, so that he will lift you up in his own good time. Leave all your worries with him, because he cares for you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Last month, the Daily Mail wrote an article about the singer Beyoncé, and their heading was, "Why did God give me this life?" Did anyone see that heading? It was also flashing around the internet quite a lot. Now, this article was reporting on a documentary that followed Beyoncé on tour, and it was a documentary that she appears to be making herself. She was sitting down saying how she felt at different moments in time. And at one moment, she was seemingly overwhelmed with the pressure of touring and of performing. Now, her cry, "Why did God give me this life?" This cry was not one of complaint. It was more a case of her wondering why she deserved to be gifted and successful. Why had she got this recognition and had the opportunity to tour and perform in this way? I was thinking about what she was saying, and I think in many ways this response is the opposite of the cry in our culture today, not least in the world of entertainment and of celebrity. I don't know if you're a fan of The X Factor or The Apprentice. I don't particularly agree with the way that people are mocked or cut down by judges in some of the big talent shows. But at the same time, I think there does appear to be a hunger for success that's driven out of a self-confidence filled with pride and with arrogance. If you spoke to the contestants on The X Factor or The Apprentice, and you said, "Why should they win?" I would be pretty sure that a large majority of those answers would be because they deserve to, because they really are the best. Now, I think it is important for us to believe in ourselves, but such self-important attitudes are often unattractive and certainly not Christ-like. So how do we model Jesus in a culture that is often self-centred and full of pride? How do we ensure that we stand up for Christ's values without becoming arrogant? How do we make sure that our lives display meekness without showing weakness? I think it can be hard to get the balance right. It's a pretty fine line at times. But Peter's words of advice here are very valuable. Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand so that he will lift you up. Leave all your worries with him because he cares for you. Now, when Peter wrote this letter, he was writing to believers who'd been scattered to different places and were being persecuted for their faith. His letter was to encourage them and to instruct them at this time, reminding them to hold on to their faith and to stay united to one another so that they could live to glorify Jesus, even in the midst of their persecution. Their lives were far from easy, and Peter encouraged them to be confident in God and to live for him with the whole of their lives. Now, today, for us, our persecution may not be the same, but it still isn't easy to live completely for Jesus in a world whose values and standards are often very different. Our lives shouldn't be compartmentalised. We should be following Christ's example in every aspect of our life. So Peter's encouragement to live humbly and to be confident in God, I think, still speaks to us and encourages us today. But what does it mean to be humble? How does that impact our attitude to ourselves, to others, and to God? The life of Jesus, I think, models humility from beginning to end. During Advent, we remember the preparations for Jesus' arrival, and we're reminded of his very lowly start in life. Born to an ordinary young girl and starting life being put in a manger, it's hardly the life of a king, is it? But as he grew up, it's evident that he grew in understanding of who he was. He came to know he was the Son of God, and he had a specific task he had to accomplish. And yet that knowledge didn't make him arrogant and didn't make him proud. Instead, it was through knowing his identity that he was able to love and to serve other people. It wasn't that he served because he didn't value himself, because he thought he was worthless. Jesus was confident in who he was, and from that place of security he served, even to the end of his life, where he humbled himself to death on the cross. Jesus is our perfect example of how to live humbly. But practically, what does that mean to be humble today? Well, first of all, I think living humbly affects our attitude to ourselves. Like Jesus, we need to know our identity as children of God and live our lives from that perspective. I remember once hearing an explanation of humility that I found really very helpful. I was told that to be humble is not to think too highly of yourself, but not to think too lowly of yourself either. And to help me get to grips with that, I was given this illustration. Imagine for a moment you're going to a party or a social gathering. You arrive on your own. The party has begun, and you're shown into the front room where most of the people are. Picture yourself in that place. How do you feel? How do you feel as you're walking in on your own? Now, the person who thinks too highly of themselves might perhaps react a bit like this. They walk into the room expecting all eyes to be on them. As they walk across the room, they catch sight of themselves in a mirror. They stop briefly to admire how good they look. And then they look expectantly for somebody to approach them, anticipating that others will want to be with them, and their mind is completely on themselves. Can you picture the scene? I'm not going to ask if other names come to mind for that description. Now, in contrast, the person who feels too lowly about themselves walk into the room, hoping nobody will notice them, but terrified that all eyes might be on them. They're pretty sure that people will probably criticise the way that they look, and they're worried about what others might say about them. As they walk across the room, they put their head down, hoping that no one will approach them, and their mind is completely on themselves. The way those two individuals felt was completely opposite, but the end result was the same. They were both completely consumed by thinking about themselves. Being humble is not thinking too highly of yourself and not thinking too lowly of yourself. In fact, perhaps it could be summarised as not thinking of yourself at all. Now, I've got to admit, I find this quite a challenging description of humility. As someone who once was painfully shy and who at times still lacks confidence, I relate to that second person, that feeling of being so self-conscious that you fear everyone is talking about you negatively and you dread anyone approaching you. At the time I was most like that, I had no idea that my attitude was not a humble one. But in all honesty, how could I be there to listen to others, to help or encourage them, to respond to a person in need when my mind was filled with thoughts of what others were thinking about me? Surely it is only when I'm in that place of being confident and secure, knowing my identity in Jesus, that I can stop focusing on me and properly engage with others. Now, of course, in being confident, it's important not to go to the other extreme, to be so confident and self-admiring that still your only focus is on you and how much others might think of you. But again, the key, I think, is the same, to know who you are in Jesus, to recognise what we are as sinners without him, and to see that it's only through his grace that we are who we are. Living humbly then surely means having the right attitude towards ourselves as we know who we are in Jesus. But living humbly also impacts our response towards other people. Our reading began this evening with these words: "You younger people must submit to your elders." Now, these words aren't written because Peter had anything against younger people. And he quickly went on to say that everyone should put on the apron of humility. And so that means our humble attitudes should be mutual. It's something for all of us. But I think it is possible that Peter was addressing those who were possibly younger in age or younger in faith or younger in leadership experience, and was doing so because he wanted to highlight a specific warning to those people who felt like perhaps they already knew all the answers and were maybe a bit obsessed with the way that they thought things should always be done. These kind of traits, I think, can be seen in all kinds of people, not just the young, and they lead to pride rather than to humility. And Peter's words here are not to curtail youthful enthusiasm. They're to encourage people to take advice from those who are more mature. And the reason for that was so that all of them could live faithfully serving Jesus and glorifying him in the midst of the oppression that they were facing. Perhaps at times where we feel beaten down by others and crushed in who we really are, our natural response is to want to fight back, to want to assert some authority or take control of things. But Peter's advice to everybody is the same: put on the apron of humility and serve one another. Now, it's quite possible that at that moment, Peter was reminded of Jesus' act of humility. That time when he tied a towel around his waist and he washed the disciples' feet. If you remember that account, you will know that at that time, Peter found it very hard to accept such a gracious action from his Lord. But now, he's only too aware of the need to follow Jesus' example. Living humbly affects our response towards others. Even in the hardest times of life, we need to be willing to serve. And I wonder if there's something really quite significant about this phrase that Peter used of putting on or tying on the apron of humility. To me, there is a decisive and a definite action there when you take something and you physically tie it around you. And I wonder if that's because there are times when living humbly towards other people needs to be more like that action, a decisive action to do something. Aren't there occasions for all of us when serving others becomes quite natural and other occasions when it really is just such a chore. Sometimes it feels easier not to make the effort. Just let the opportunity pass us by because we're tired, because we really don't feel up to it, because maybe we're feeling like we're the ones that always do the serving and we don't feel valued in what we do, and maybe it's us that should be served for a change. And at those times, particularly, we need to take that apron of humility and put it on. Peter encourages all of us to do that, to make a decision to respond humbly to somebody else, no matter how we're feeling at that time. Living humbly impacts our attitude to ourselves and our attitudes to others. But it also impacts our attitude towards God. In that reading, we also heard these words, "Humble yourselves then under God's mighty hand, so that he will lift you up in his own good time. Leave all your worries with him, because he cares for you." Now, as Peter was writing this letter, his concern was that those who would read it would keep Jesus as their focus, even though they were going through such immense trials and troubles. He wanted them to be able to live wholeheartedly for God and to follow Jesus' example in all they did. Think for a moment. What would happen if they didn't keep Jesus as their focus? From my experience, I think there are two common ways that they may have responded. Firstly, the oppression and the persecution they were facing may have led to them withdrawing from God. Their faith may have taken a beating. They may have then started questioning God's love for them. And those who were persecuting them suddenly began to win the battle as these people gave up on their faith in Jesus. Secondly, the other response. Maybe they could have reacted by fighting back, asserting themselves against their oppressors, acting in anger or violence, greeting injustice with further injustice. Neither of these reactions would have modelled Jesus. Think about Jesus' life. In his toughest moments, Jesus ran straight to God for help. In the midst of his own oppression, Jesus responded with compassion for those who were out and against him. To make sure we react in the right way, our response has to be to follow Jesus' example and to live humbly. And of course, Peter knew only too well the consequences of reacting in the wrong way. So maybe it was his own experiences that led him to be sensitive over these kind of issues. Remember, it was Peter that had boasted that although everyone else might deny Jesus, he would always be true. And yet, when that cock crowed after Jesus was arrested, Peter knew how he'd fallen. And he knew too that experience of humbly being restored by God after Jesus reinstated him. It was from his own experience that Peter wrote about living humbly. Maybe he wanted us to learn from his own mistakes. "Leave your worries with him," Peter said, "because he cares for you." So if our response is not one of humility, then what is it that we're saying? Are we taking care of things ourselves as if we know better than God, rather than waiting on him to lift us up in his own good time? Or maybe we think our concerns aren't worth bothering him about, that we should deal with them ourselves because God has better things to do. "Leave your worries," Peter said, "because he cares for you." Surely it's as we come humbly to God in the midst of those difficulties, where we've got questions, where we've got doubts, where we've got worries about life and the future, it's at those times we're able to put into practice trusting him, entrusting those difficulties into his hands, trusting that in his good time he will lift us up. To me, this is just part of the ongoing challenge of following Jesus It's not always easy to respond humbly. But I guess Peter knew that. And maybe that's why he wrote these words for us today. So I encourage you this evening, humble yourselves under God's mighty hand so that he will lift you up in his own good time. Leave all your worries with him because he cares for you. Let's have our moment's silence so that you can make your own personal response to the Lord. Loving God, we remember how you came to this world in humility, how you humbly served others and lived and died demonstrating that humility. And as we come to you this evening, we ask that you will help us to live humbly for you. Lord, where we have worries and burdens, please help us to bring them to you, to give those things over to you, and to trust that you will deal with them. Where we feel crushed or broken, help us to come to you and know your love and acceptance, and know that you will lift us up. And as we learn how to humbly serve you, please help us to be aware of the needs of others and to respond humbly towards those that we meet. In Jesus' name, amen.